Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who's ready for Game 5? This guy. I hope you are as well. It's Dukes and Bell as we broadcast live from Cobb Galleria. We're at Murph's Guys, and Mike, the anticipation of a Game 5. Listen, there's nothing like a Game 7.
Right.
But in the short series, okay, and this is the danger you have. You could be great all year. You said it. The Astros, they may lose. The Dodgers may ultimately lose, being the two of the best teams in Major Leagues. But in these Game 5s, as they approach, you get a little antsy, man. And a little, right. Little butterflies in your stomach.
Well, I mean, let's hope that Fulte is up for it. Flaherty, again, Fulte won that duel the first time and Friday in Game 2. This is a series where I think, the Cardinals felt that they let some of that game get away from them. And I think the Braves, obviously, the pitching moves that maybe you could second-guess Snitker on. But at the end of the day, the story of this series and why we're here in Game 5 is the Braves have just left too many dudes on base. You know, when you got the bases loaded twice and nobody gets across, we said it all day yesterday, when Acuna leads off with a triple or a double and you can't plate him, that's a problem. You know, you can't blame the manager about that.
Nope. And you know, there's a couple of things that we'll be talking about, win or lose tomorrow. We're hoping it's a W. First of all, we're talking about the Dodgers or the Nationals in the NLCS, and you'll worry about that after you get through this thing today. But, you know, my fear is if for whatever reason we come up short, there's going to be a lot of people pointing the fingers at those three guys in the middle of the lineup. And right. I hope today they can redeem themselves. You don't, like you said, all it takes is one hit. It doesn't take Freddie hitting three home runs today. That'd be nice, but right. just come up and get the job done when you need to.
Now, not making excuses, guys, but any baseball fan knows some of the stories. Mike Schmidt had a brutal World Series, man, where he had one hit in, I think, like 20 at-bats against the Orioles, who went on to win the World Series that year. Ted Williams. You know, Teddy Ballgame only got one World Series, and he was brutal in that one. So against the Cardinals, which went 7. So there are other precedents we've talked about. I mentioned, back in the day, Gary Carter for the Mets hadn't got a hit until he finally knocked one into Game 5 against the Astros. And there people were killing him about a guy that wasn't clutch for that team. So, Freddie, to stick around for the rebuild, to have your moment, and unfortunately, you saw a little bit of a trend at the end of September, or certainly in September, that Freddie was cooling off a little bit. And whether that was the bone spur in the elbow, whether that's just wear and tear, because remember, we talked a lot about it before they gave him that rest for the two-game series in Kansas City. Donaldson, Freddie, now Acuna's young, but Donaldson and Freddie played a lot of games this year.
They did. Your thoughts, guys, as we count down to Game 5, first pitch a little bit after 5 o'clock. Mike and I are at Murph's. We'll be here until 7. Plenty of conversation leading up to the game, and we'll get back into some Falcons conversation as well. Want to give a big shout-out to Cody Thompson in Jefferson, Georgia.
Hey.
He wins the pair of tickets. We'll give another pair away coming up this hour, so stay tuned if you want to go to Game 5 today. But, Cody, thanks for listening to Dukes and Bell.
All right, man. Good job, buddy boy. By the way, you know what? I was looking at that list yesterday when you and I were talking off the air. Dave Winfield had a brutal World Series in 81 when the Dodgers finally got back to the Yankees. Remember George Steinbrenner was calling him Mr. April or
That's
Mr.
Right.
September?
Yeah.
Not Mr. October.
Not Mr. October.
And even Reggie, speaking of Mr. October, he had a brutal one for the Angels when they lost in 82 to the Orioles. So there's been some stories and some history there where you've seen guys come, or the Brewers, I should say.
It's tough.
See them come up short.
Listen, it happens to all of these stars, and that's the thing. The timing sucks for Freddie because he's been so good. But I'm hoping he plays well today, man. That's all we can do.
And again, it doesn't have to be a hit, just a sack fly. Get some RBIs, knock some guys in, some productive outs at the bare minimum.
All right, man. Dale Murphy set to join us in about 15 minutes. Stay there. He's going to stop by. We'll talk with him about Game 5, what it's going to take today. Obviously, I think Murph is going to say the same things we've been talking about, but I'm curious to see what he says in these situations. He's been in these clubhouses, Mike, when you are in an elimination game and the pressure that's on guys to deliver. Right now, though, let's get to an NFL Blitz. Hi.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with a story that was a developing story yesterday. And now, well, not so much, because Richard Sherman has come out and basically said, I'm sorry, Baker Mayfield. Yeah, we shook hands. Fool, the video doesn't lie.
I mean, look, if you saw the body language, it wasn't a hearty handshake when he saw Baker Mayfield at the coin toss. But here's the thing. You know, like, just call it what it is. If you want to pimp Patrick Mahomes because he's a more complete guy and you think Baker Mayfield's a creep, just tell the guys, you know what? I'm glad I picked this guy up because I think Baker Mayfield's a creep. But the guy's got enough heat. Enough people are piling on Baker Mayfield for Richard Sherman to say the man wouldn't shake my hand before the game. So, yeah. So basically, yeah, man, I lied. Well, heat of emotion, you know. I was so amped up, I didn't realize it was contact. I mean, love or hate Richard Sherman, the guy is walking hyperbole, and that's jive. You want to talk about he did chapter and verse about disrespect in the NFL and all the things that are what you have to do to be a professional, and you just basically lied about a guy on national television.
Yeah, not a good look, and I like Sherman a lot. Let's hear from him. This is what he said in regards to the Baker Mayfield situation.
When we walked up for captains, like you know, I walk up, I, you know, shake up, you know, give a pat on the back to just about everybody. You know, it's kind of how I do it and, you know, how I see it. And as I'm walking up to him, you know what I mean? He's the next person in line. He's kind of just standing back with his hands down. And I'm like, you know, and it's happening faster than you think it's happening. You know, it's everything. You always think everything's happening slow mo. You know, he doesn't take a step. He doesn't look to move up. So I put my hand out, you know, just out of courtesy. Like, and he gives me a little petty little, you know, slap on the hand. And I took it as disrespect because the way he was standing back, like he wasn't walking up and approaching like everybody else. So I was like, okay. And I already felt some type of way at the beginning, you know? So it kind of reinforced what I felt. So once we got done with that, you know, they call it, and he just turns and runs off. I say, oh, okay, this kind of day is going.
Okay, so that's not really an apology, but okay.
That was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. That is Richard Sherman commenting on Baker Mayfield's situation. So today he says he will apologize to Baker Mayfield for wrongly saying that the quarterback had refused to shake his hand before the coin toss on Monday Night Football. Either way, you know, I get it, guys. You know, if like Baker Mayfield, Mike, if you're a guy that has that reputation of maybe being a jerk on a hole, so right. Be it.
But well, then just say you don't like the guy. Don't go make something up about him.
There you go.
And by the way, how do I know Richard's lying? He's much more well-spoken. He's a Stanford man, and he was ah-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. That was a whole lot of flim-flam, blim-flam.
Well, things
Richard
are moving
Sherman.
A lot faster than I thought.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
look,
things move in slow motion, but it was moving fast.
And I'm like you. Like, I watch the NFL. I like personalities. I get a kick out of guys. And the whole LLB thing went down. I thought that was hysterical. But, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, you busted, and yeah, you sound – you know, he sounds like me. With my dad caught me, like, driving his car. Well,
yeah, it's Dukes and Bell. Hey, NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Dale Murphy on the way in about 10 minutes. Hey, we haven't talked a lot about the Saints because there's been no reason to. Our team has not looked that good. Mm. They, on the other hand, have looked amazing without Drew Brees. And, oh, he's coming back. Here's Cam Jordan. Mike, I've said this. He's the dude on that defense. Everything kind of revolves around him on that front seven, but they are playing well. But here's the thing, guys. They're winning without their Hall of Fame quarterback.
We took it on as a team. It wasn't just a defensive effort. It was all three phases of the game. We saw Seattle where we scored a touchdown on defense. We scored a touchdown on special teams where, you know, you have everybody attacking everybody. You come in a game later and you hold Dallas down to 9 points or whatever it is. It's a whole team effort. All three phases of the game has taken over.
New Orleans, by the way, goes to Jacksonville this weekend. Jacksonville's got a sturdy defense, even with Jalen Ramsey tapping out. You know, obviously, Gardner Minshew. The one thing about the Saints is they're getting a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But when they don't get pressure, their secondary is getting torched. So teams are having success throwing the ball against the Saints. Not so much Dak Prescott the other night. But what do you think about that one, man? You like Jacksonville as an upset special? Teddy Bridgewater on the road as a starter. They've started to open up the playbook for him more. He got more in the vertical passing game last week.
The Seattle win was an emotional win because everybody was counting them out after the Brees injury happened.
Right.
So you go on the road, they rally, and nobody thinks they can win, and they put together that performance. Then you come back, you're at home against Dallas, and you just heard Cam Jordan talk about it. They had a little confidence. They again, didn't throw the ball deep down the field, but they're able to win. Last week, you see what happens. Yeah, Mike, believe it or not, I do think this is an upset special. I think this is the one where they're feeling themselves right now. Look what we've done. things have kind of calmed down for them, and then they go on the road, and I think maybe they get caught this weekend.
Hey, man, Jay Gruden gets fired by the Redskins last week. We already talked about that on the NFL Blitz. But now people are starting to throw their hat in the ring, or in this case, his shoes in the ring. Rex Ryan, chief toe sucker, apparently interested, Carl, in getting out from behind that ESPN desk and doing some football coaching for the Redskins.
Okay.
He says, I would take the Washington job. Meanwhile, the Redskins.
I like how Rex Ryan lobbies.
Of course. Good luck with that, Rex. People are putting feelers out, at least Washington does, that they really want Mike Tomlin. If I'm Mike Tomlin, you got your pick of jobs if Steelers did decide to move on from you, and that's the last place in God's green earth I want to be a head coach. If Bruce Allen is the GM, this guy has train wrecked that franchise for over two decades, and for some reason, I saw a good story on NFL Network about it, that the owner, Daniel Snyder, he's disappeared. You don't see him anymore. He's made Bruce Allen the face of the franchise because he's sick and tired of being the whipping boy because everyone hates him.
Yeah, well.
But Bruce Allen now is like the movable object of just terrible decisions in that franchise.
Listen, I think it's a smart idea, to be honest with you. I mean.
Let him draw the fire.
Let him draw the fire. I'll say this, and when I talk about Mike Tomlin, Mike, you're right. If the Steelers move on, and I don't know what our situation is going to be here, but I'm going to tell you something. Tomlin, in his own words, I was 34 when I got the job. I've taken this team to 8 playoff appearances. 6 division titles.
Thanks, Coach.
2 FC titles. A Super Bowl victory. I think my resume speaks for itself. This dude has a 642 winning percentage.
Right.
The only other coach in the league currently that has won more games. Go ahead and take a guess.
Bill Belichick. Right, right.
I mean, if you want to let Tomlin go, so be it. But you're giving up a dude who has really proven himself.
Now, and also when you look back in retrospect, you know, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize for managing Antonio Brown in that circus as well as
crazy.
He did. Not to mention he had Le'Veon Bell. I would take, if the Falcons moved on from Quinn, I would take this guy in a heartbeat. I would love to see a fresh approach and see how I get a new set of eyeballs on the problem. And I have a clean house. But we're not there yet. We got a winnable game in Arizona.
Mike, we're not there yet. Yeah,
no,
there
we
yet.
Got, look, I mean, you know how I feel. I had a guy today at the gym come up to me. He goes, he's a big Falcon fan. I've never met this guy before, so I don't know if he's a listener or not, but he must have saw my Twitter. He goes, how are you ever going to talk to Quinn again after saying you want him fired? I go, well, we'd have him on the show. And I say, Coach, I don't know if you heard, but I did say I think it's time for the Falcons to move on from you as head coach.
Yeah.
And we take it from there. And if he ever wants to talk to me again, so be it. But we hope we can have a relationship. Guys in other cities like Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, this stuff goes on all the time when teams aren't working. I'm just going from a fan standpoint. That's my feeling from my gut. My first feeling is I think they can turn things around. But when you watch a game, especially that second half against the Texans, it's hard to find things to hang on to and say, okay, we can build off of that.
Yeah. 5 o'clock, I'm going to tell you how they can turn things
around. All
right,
I can't wait to hear this. This dude apparently has got the secret sauce on how the Falcons are going to turn the season around.
5 o'clock, it's coming your way. You know, the opposite happened to me today. You said that guy came up to you at the gym. I had a guy look at me from across the way for about 2 minutes, staring.
That's always awkward.
Comes over, goes, I think I know you. I go, okay. Then he says, no, I'm sorry, it's another black guy. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live. I'm dead serious.
You're kidding.
And then I said, okay, good to see you. Good talk.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. I'm not lying
to
you.
What the hell is this?
It happened today.
Is this somebody
who's get guys that come up to you at the gym and have legitimate conversations.
No, but
I get people looking at me wondering what black guy I am.
Going to move out of Cobb County, Joe.
Yeah, I'm like, why is this dude looking at me for 2 minutes? Do I owe him some money?
That's creepy.
Yeah,
so
man.
He thought you were Mike Tomlin.
I don't know who the hell he thought I was. Anyways, at least he owned it, though. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody
but
else.
But that's how he did say someone else. He didn't specifically
No, he did say. He said, I'm sorry. I thought you were someone else. And I went, another black guy.
No. No, I get guys who yell at me across the gym like, you better drop the hammer on these guys. I got guys yelling at me at the gym.
I was like, who the hell did this guy think I was? I have never stared at anybody longer than this. I thought this guy, you know, he could have made love to me, Mike. Guess how long he stared at me.
Well, okay? Guess what? Come to my gym in Midtown. You'll learn very quickly how to stare at the ceiling and stare at the floor.
It is.
Now I know why guys wear shades in the gym.
Yeah, it's weird. It's our NFL Blitz segment. Hey, do you think that Jason Garrett, listen, Cowboys up and down.
Speaking of guys who needs to be replaced as a coach.
All right, so you say that. Here's what
he's a figurehead.
Here's what Jerry Jones said, because they asked him that exact question. People now are doubting the Dak contract, how much it'll be, and they're also saying Jason Garrett is going to lose his job. Go ahead.
Don't bet any money against that happening. You'll lose it.
That's Jerry Jones.
All right, now look, they're 3-2. I mean, we're 1-4. Our sky is falling. 3-2 is fine, okay? They're in the mix with the wild card. The Eagles look like they finally got their house in order, so it's going to be a race to the end. But I wouldn't freak out about it. I think the Cowboys did some really good things early. Guys made some adjustments on it. The Saints showed you how you can beat Dak and the Cowboys presently composed. But they got again, this is why Jason Garrett, you got 5 guys coaching the offense on that team. How do you not figure that out?
Last but not least, the star of New York right now, Daniel Jones, Mike. They got the Patriots this weekend. He was asked about playing Tom Brady and the Patriots. Here's what Daniel Jones said.
You certainly respect what they've done, and you acknowledge the fact that they're a good team, but you know, I don't think we can let that affect you know, our confidence or the way we kind of attack the preparation or when we get there, you know, and play the game.
Tough week, though, for him. They get Golden Tate back after I remember last week from the suspension. Yeah. But Sterling Shepard looks like he's going to be questionable. You got no Saquon Barkley. Gallman is also out with a concussion protocol. So to go with a third-string running back and not have your full complement of wide receivers, I mean, I appreciate his optimism, but that's going to be a really tough win for the Giants. No way, Jose.
You need Saquon.
Right.
To kind of level things out, right? To keep him honest. The Patriots' defense is good, too. I mean,
I said, he's saying the right things, but they're missing major pieces on that offense.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, Dale Murphy's going to join us. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our National Signing Bonus Contest right now.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
paperback writer. Writer. Yes. W-R-I-T-E-R. Writer. It goes to 72881. W-R-I-T-E-R. You text that. You don't call us. You text it to 72881. Then look for a phone call. If you see a number you don't recognize, pick it up. Could be the boss man with $1,000 for you guys. We do this every hour till 4. It's a great contest, man. National Signing Bonus. Writer to 72881. Good luck.
All right, guys. Coming up, he knows about being in these situations. He was one of the best to do it. Dale Murphy joins us next as we broadcast live from Murph's in Cobb Galleria. We're live at Murph's, guys. We're going to talk to Dale Murphy coming up here in just a sec. We got to tell this story, though, because Mike and I get a chance to come across some really cool people. We were talking to some folks here enjoying an ice cold Hey Man L, and literally this gentleman walks in, and he goes, are you Carl Dukes and you Mike Bell? And I said, yes, we are. And he is an Uber driver, Mike. He literally was dropping someone off to come to Cobb Galleria, to Murph's. Had our radio station on, was listening to us, and the guy goes, I'm going to where those guys are. He goes, I've got to meet them. So he's got people in his Uber right now, and he ran in here just to come in and say
hi. Thanks to Ryan, who's the Uber customer, who told the man that we're in here, and thanks to Wheels. And he's driven for me before, too, by the way, Wheels, I believe. But good job, man. We appreciate the folks. And again, all the guys in Uber, all the guys driving limos and taxi service cars that got us on, man. So check us out at 92.9 The Game.
Braves wins are thirsty work, guys. That's why we go to Racetrack. They have $1 any size fountain beverages. It pairs great with whatever, like a hot dog or a slice of pizza. Cold drinks, $1. Racetrack, whatever gets you going. We say good afternoon to Dale Murphy. Murph, it is game 5. These are the games that you get defined by, aren't they? I mean, you could have a great series, but people remember game 5s and they remember game 7s.
Yeah, I wouldn't know personally about that, but I got the game 3. No, I think you're right. I think, look, this club's going to be competitive for years and for you know, next decade or however long Alex Anthopoulos is the GM. And, you know, but you're right. I think this is just a pivot time for him. And it's a huge situation, a huge opportunity. We all know it. It's obvious. And it's a time to really... It's cool for the kids, you know. The kids are playing great. I know there's social media is so different now, but, you know, fans enjoy this. This team was in the playoffs last year. They're in the playoffs again this year. I mean, they're so enjoy it, have fun. You know, we could be going on, we could be marching on, and it's a time to really, you know, you're right, give yourself some identity. And then in the future, you know, they can say, hey, I've been in game 5s. You know, it's cool. It's great. And here's what to do to the younger players, even though these guys are still going to be young. There's going to be younger players again and say, hey, here's what you do in game 5s like this. You know, you keep, you know, be yourself. Go out there, have fun, relax. And, you know, so I can't tell you how much I wish I was there. You know, I'm not in Atlanta, but I'll be there the next round.
And that's the thing, man, positivity. There will be a next round. Unfortunately, as you said, it was best of 5 when you played in the NLCS against the Cardinals, who went on to win the World Series that year against Milwaukee. And, Dale, you touched on it, trying to stay loose. How do you get loose? How do you prepare if you're Freddie, Josh Donaldson, Markakis? Combined, they're batting 145. That's where all the men left on base really are you're coming from. Your middle of your lineup just can't seem to get things going right now.
Well, I'm just like you and every other Braves fans that, you know, are following the team. Yeah, I'm concerned. We got to a game five. I mean, it's the cool thing about baseball. You got kind of, you know, your go-to guys in, you know where the ball's going in basketball the last 3 minutes. You know what's going to happen in football. We got to baseball. You need the whole lineup. But to continue to march forward, we're gonna need the middle of the lineup, and I'm concerned. I think Freddie's battling that bone spur. I know he's not making excuses. I haven't been watching too closely, but I just can't watch every inning. I'm listening on the radio if I'm in my car, but I don't think Josh Donaldson is getting fastballs in the strike zone to hit. You know, he's a fastball hitter. I think the Cardinals have done a good job. So hopefully we can get Josh into some hitting counts and get him some fastballs. I think Nick's swing is okay. It's just, you know, hasn't fallen for him. But that's what, you know, I've been thinking about Josh a lot. I'd like to see today, see if he can get some fastballs to hit.
It is our man, Dale Murphy, joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we broadcast from Murph's. By the way, you'd be happy. Great crowd on hand, by the way, for Game 5.
Great.
When you talk about the pitching and the pressure that goes with it, on a day like today where, you know, you got an elimination game, what are you saying to Folty? Are you saying anything?
Well, if I was a funny guy, I'd trade. Figure out something to make him laugh, you know, make him loosen up, I think Krasnick will do that. I think he'll say, yeah, look, this is game five, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, instead of thinking about the pressure, think how lucky you are. And whatever happens, you're able to experience this. And not a lot of guys in the history of the game get to experience these kind of things. Sometimes we think it just is an automatic, that, especially in Atlanta with the years Chipper had and all those years in the playoffs, that it's easy to get here and it's easy to win. It's just not that way. So I would try to, you know, talk to Folty and say, hey, you know, enjoy the moment. You know, maybe I could give him a hot foot or something. That probably wouldn't be a good idea, something like that for the starting pitcher. But, you know, give him something to loosen him up. And because if you're not enjoying it, you're stressed. And so think about how lucky you are to be in the position and have some fun. That's the only way you can loosen up. Pitchers' arms, you can't be tight. You can't force things. You got to be loose and let it go.
It is Dale Murphy with us, guys. We're live at Murph's, his sports bar restaurant. Great food. They hit us up with the appetizer sampler, so we're feeling fat and fluffy right now, Murph. Dale joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So, Dale, yeah, obviously, I know the phrase is used all week, but all hands on deck. So you could see, you know, obviously we'll see Max Fried if, heaven forbid, Folty struggles. And, heck, you might even see Keuchel if you had to late in the game. But what do you think of how Snicker used the pitchers? I think we go back, we look at the first game, and maybe we could have done things differently. I think St. Louis felt they kind of blew things in game two. Do you look at it and say that that's just baseball? I mean, we're all looking for answers here, and I think some people want to yell at Snitker. We should be through this already, but I say it's not Snitker's fault when the guys aren't bringing guys in when the bases are loaded.
You're exactly right. Look, here's the deal. Just look at what Madden did with the Cubs in the World Series, and there are a number of things. You can go back with a number of clubs. You know, I think even before the game, he said when they won it, Lester was not going to come in with guys on base. And Lester came in with guys on base probably as early as the fourth inning. And then he left him in there too long. He left Chapman in there too long. They gave up the lead, and, you know, and the Cubs come back and win. Ryan Snitker is not making these decisions in a vacuum. He's got a game plan. One of the problems with the game plan is things don't always go according to plan. They got backup plans. He's got a bench coach. He's got a pitching coach. They're all talking about this, and they're doing their best. And baseball sometimes is so unpredictable. You know, you do your best with what you have. And so everybody just needs to realize that there are no geniuses running these baseball teams. They're just doing their best. And sometimes they do mess up. That's true. And sometimes, even if they mess up, the things work out. You know, it's just a crazy game, and I think that's the appeal of it. So the main thing is, and they can take the criticism, too, if it doesn't work out. That's part of the game. But I continue to say there are no geniuses. They're making these decisions with a lot of information and just doing with what they have. You know, if you're the Houston Astros, you know who your first three starters are. It's pretty easy. You know, everybody else is doing the best they can and putting, you know, who they think. So, but to get back to what are they going to do? Probably, obviously, Folti will have a quick, short leash. And then they're just going to go matchups after that.
Hey, Dale, real quick, just as a follow-up, because of the guys we talked about with, again, Freeman, who's been your bread-and-butter guy, your team MVP, 300 hitter up until this year, you know, him struggling with Marquez, struggling with Donaldson, would you have ever liked the idea of bringing Dansby up in the lineup or dropping Acuna down, or you say, I don't want to mess? That'll even mess the guys up even more if we start tweaking that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think right now, look, you've got to a game five with these guys. You start fiddling too much right now. It does kind of mess up rhythm. But you're in a game five. These guys have proven what they can do, and you hope tonight, today, they can bust out. I mean, this, you know, we got two good pitchers going, but, you know, baseball's weird. This could be a 12-10 game. Who knows?
Right. Murph, it's going to be interesting. We appreciate you jumping on, as always. Brought to you by our friends at Racetrack. Let's hope we're talking about an NLCS appearance moving forward. But we'll get a chance to talk with you whether we're wrapping the season up
right, or
we're talking about potentially playing another 7-game series. Murph, thanks so much.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you. And go Braves. It's going to be fun.
Go Braves. You want tickets to go see Game 5? Be caller number 9 right now with the code word. You've been listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all day. The code word was given out. Caller number 9 at 404-741-0929 is going to win a pair of tickets. We will send them to you digitally, but thanks for listening to Dukes and Bell and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got Mike Conti on the way. We're going to talk dogs, some college football in the 4 o'clock hour. We will also get back into keys today as we talk about the Braves. We just retweeted from Zach Klein from Channel 2 a picture of Josh Donaldson's kicks. On the back of them, they read Bringer of Rain, which is kind of cool.
It would be nice if we could get some rain in the forecast tonight, brother. We need it.
Time now for the Five Stripes preview.
The Chip Score!
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
All right, guys, we're live at Murph's. It's Dukes and Bell. We're getting ready for Game 5. And we're going to talk more about the Braves and things we think we hope to see and things they need to get done tonight to move on to the NLCS. But first, let's talk about the Five Stripes. We do it each and every week with the voice of our Atlanta United. His name is Mike Conti. Conti's back at the studio. He's actually got Hawks tonight, pre-post and all that stuff with the Hawks playing in the preseason. But, Conti, let's focus on the Five Stripes now heading towards the playoffs. Watching this team all year, how good do you feel about our club heading into the playoffs?
It's really tough to get a feel for them because they've been inconsistent at times. But when you look at how the rest of the league has played down the stretch, I think only New York City has earned more points in their final 10 games than Atlanta United. So that's a pretty good sign that Atlanta United, at least compared to the rest of the league, is in pretty good form. I think what makes you the most optimistic is how healthy they are. It's probably about as healthy as they've been all year. What makes you maybe a little bit pessimistic is looking down the road at what they may have to do if you get by New England.
Right.
You're going to have to play a team in the second round that you've not beaten this year, Philadelphia or New York Red Bulls. You do not have a win against either of them. And then you may have to go up to either Yankee Stadium or Citi Field and play New York City. It's going to be a very tough road. But I do remember this time last year when we got the playoff bracket, we said Atlanta United's going to have to do this the hard way against New York City and New York Red Bulls. And they got it done, and they won the MLS Cup. No one could say it's a fluke. So if they do it again this year, no one will be able to say it's a fluke.
Last year we had two legs, and we really did set the tone. Certainly the Red Bulls, when we beat them here at Mercedes-Benz. But this year it's a single elimination, and this year, Mike, it's way earlier over. Last year we had to wait till the last international break, and it was over in December. This year the season's over before Thanksgiving, right?
Season's over before Veterans Day even. November 10th is right. The MLS Cup final. And the reason why they did that is because they did not want to stop the playoffs in the middle for an international break. Well, this is one way to accomplish right. it. Also, it puts you in a pretty good spot when you have the next World Cup in 2022. You'll be done by then. So I think there was a little bit of forward thinking on that as well. But when you get into the one-game knockout format as opposed to playing legs, it gets very, very risky. It gets very, very dangerous because one mistake could end your season. You don't have the leeway of being able to play a second leg. That's why it'll be interesting tactically next Saturday, and we'll have a lot of time to talk about it next week. But I am curious tactically, how does Bruce Arena of New England approach this? How does Frank DeBoer of Atlanta United approach it? The managerial battle is going to be just as important as everything that goes on the pitch.
Mike Conte, it's our Five Stripes preview, guys, brought to you by Associated Credit Union. How would you describe the play of Julian Gressel? And if you had to pick one of our players, who has been the most important piece outside of Joseph Martinez?
Wow. I mean, Julian would be right there in that conversation. That's a good one, Carl. In fact, Jason and I were talking about, is there an Atlanta United player outside of maybe Joseph Martinez and Miles Robinson who could pop in the MLS Best 11? And if you don't know what that means, it's like being a first-team All-American in college football. They take one player at every position, and they the best player, basically, at every position, and they call that the Best 11. Julian Gressel's got a case. He got to double digits and assists. He's the secondary scoring option for Atlanta United. In the last two matches, he's been outstanding. A goal and two assists this past Sunday against New England. Had a goal up in Montreal that could have won them the game. So Gressel's been enormous, and I think he's been doing it without being 1,000% healthy, which adds to how important this contribution has been from him. And it's interesting how in the 3-5-2, there doesn't seem to be any kind of thought to dropping Julian Gressel. You got to have him out there, whereas they did drop Pity right. Martinez. Well, I think that's kind of a bold statement, too, as to how valuable Julian Gressel has been to this team. So I think that's a great call, Carl. Julian Gressel has been fantastic, and he's going to have to be even more fantastic in the playoffs if Atlanta United is going to repeat as MLS Cup champions.
It is Mike Conte with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline with our Five Stripes preview off this week. Next week, of course, we'll be back with the Rev, and we talked about how good Bruce Arena has turned them around. We're live here at Murph's, guys, and there'll be plenty more on the Braves and the Cardinals coming up. But we got Mike on with us, and because there's a couple things that broke this week. We just mentioned Gressel. I guess, Mike, he'd be in line next to get a raise, get a contract extension, because Miles Robinson just got one.
Yes, he did, and that's great news for Atlanta United. We don't know the financial terms, but we know that he's extended through 2023. So if Miles Robinson is going to get sold to a club in Europe or somewhere else down the road, Atlanta United's going to get something for him. It's not like he's going to be out of contract and he can just go. That's a really heady, savvy move by Atlanta United's front office. It's no guarantee that Miles Robinson will still be here in 2023 when his contract is over, but Atlanta United has put themselves in position where now they're definitely going to get something for him if they decide to sell him. And Miles Robinson has absolutely earned it. I think that's one of the big success stories in the three-year history of Atlanta United. They drafted him second overall in 2017. How did that draft class work out, by the way? Miles Robinson and Julian Gressel. Pretty good, huh? So they draft him second overall.
One rookie of the year and one U.S. men's national team, right?
Yeah, pretty good, right? Yeah, and Miles played 2017 in Charleston, kind of split time last year between MLS and USL, made three MLS starts, and now he's exploded in 2019 into maybe the defender of the year in this league. He's going to be in the top three. Just a huge success story for Atlanta United. Testament to what Frank DeBoer has done with him, but also I think a testament to what they did with him at Atlanta United too. And Tata Martino, I think, shares in the credit there as well, because this was a development project and it worked out extremely fortunately for Atlanta United.
It is Mike Conte, guys. We've got to wait a couple of weeks here before we actually get back on the pitch. But I'm feeling really good about the way things have been trending. And you said it. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to really diagnose how good this team is because we've seen so many varying, lineups and guys being out there. But I do feel good. As far as the competition, how are you rating who might come out of the West? And more importantly, the toughest match for us as far as matchup-wise. Let's just say we get past New England. What's the matchup that you go, uh-oh, that's going to be a tough one?
Oh, no question, New York City, especially if it's up there, if they have to play Yankee Stadium or Citi Field. That would be – I think that's even tougher than playing at LAFC, to be completely honest with you, because
– Really?
Yes, because the dimensions of the pitch at Yankee Stadium, if that's where they're going to be, it's just a totally different game. And New York City has set up themselves to have a big, big advantage in that stadium. If that's where they end up playing, keep rooting for the Yankees. They're in the ALCS. That's good. Let's get them to the World Series so we don't have to go back to Yankee Stadium. But then you would have to go to Citi Field. And New York City's got a pretty straightforward draw to get to these finals. They would have to beat only Toronto or D.C. That's by far the toughest matchup. LAFC is going to have an issue getting out of the West, I think, guys, because their first-round playoff match would be against either LA Galaxy or Minnesota United. They've played those teams four times this year and have zero wins against them. So I don't think it's a guarantee that LAFC is going to get to this MLS Cup final, and that's why it was really super critical that Atlanta United won this past Sunday, because if LAFC gets clipped and Atlanta United gets to the MLS Cup final, Atlanta United's hosting again. And at the Benz, where they're 18-2-1 this year, 18-2-3, I forget. It's a really gaudy record in their favor. I like those odds big time if I'm hosting MLS Cup final. Got to get there, though.
All right, Mike Conti. We'll be talking more about the Rev, and we'll talk about what Bruce Arena's done and what he'll have up his sleeve for the rematch, if you will, coming up next Saturday at 1 o'clock. Mike Conti, back at the ranch. Have a good one, brother.
Okay, guys.
All right, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Appreciate it, Mike. We are live at Cobb Galleria inside of Murph's. We're getting ready for Game 5. We're going to talk more about the Braves when we come back. And a quick reminder, Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament, October 23rd, 4 until 7 p.m. Go to our website, 929thegame.com. It's the events page to sign up. Mike and I have been telling you about it. It's going to be a fun event. We'll be out there. We want to see you guys out there. Come on out and join us, but you got to go sign up at 929thegame.com. Dukes and Bell brought to you and driven by Kia. As always, we are live at Murph's. We're coming back. When we do, what do the Braves need to do today?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.